Today we have a very special blessing for this class. 15 years ago, hello Richard, God bless you. The Lord gave me the vision of Dunkley Memorial Camp, and I tried to share that vision with other people. Most of the folks that I shared it with kind of looked at me out of the side of their eyes, you know, like I was crazy. Some of my friends, especially my preacher friends, were kind enough to tell me I was crazy. You know? But one of the folks that the Lord added to us in those early days, in fact, the first staff member that God added to us at Dunklin, was a man named Al Cross. I was preaching a revival meeting one night in a church in Fort Pierce, and the Lord just impressed me very strongly to share the vision of this camp. At that time, there wasn't any camp. There was just a swamp out here, and we didn't even own the land. But the Lord had given us a vision that here he was building in this place a city of refuge. And I shared that briefly that night, not really knowing why, but the Lord did. Back there in the middle of that church, there was a man that the Lord used it and called him out here. Now left a job he'd been on 19 years. Came out here without any salary, without any, certainly any security except in Jesus. And Al tore down the cow fence that was built right where this building is, cleared most of this hammock that we're in right now by hand. He was the first cook. You should have seen some of our cooking in those early days. Al and I cooked a stew one night, and we couldn't eat it, and we threw it out, and the dogs couldn't eat it either. But over the years, Al and I have walked together in Christ. It's been a tremendous experience. And I thank God for Al and Reba. They've been part of our camp family, even though they've been away for the last 2 years. They've been in North Carolina taking care of Reba's mother. The Lord's brought them back to us, and we rejoice in it. And Al is going to share God's message with us today. But Al, we hear you prayerfully.
There's many scriptures in the Bible concerning the church, and any one of them can be used, I imagine, to show just the church's position in our lives. But the one that's meant the most to me is in Luke, the 14th chapter and the 23rd verse. Luke chapter 14, verse 23. In this portion of God's word, we read, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." You see, nowhere in the Bible does he tell the lost man to come to church, but he tells me and you to go tell him to come. We've got a job too. We've got a real big responsibility. Third chapter of John, when he's talking to Nicodemus, he doesn't say church, piano, songbook, Sunday school, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. He just says, "Nicodemus, you come to me. All I want from you is you, but I want all of you. And when I get all of you, you're going to do this. You're going to go tell somebody else to come to my house." Almost every time Billy Graham preaches, national television, you know what the last thing he says? "And be sure and go to church Sunday." You heard that? I've made it a point to listen for that. Be sure and go to church Sunday. Now, he didn't tell you which church to go to. God will tell you. This is what I tell the men who come through this program. You won't make it by yourself. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. It's impossible. Nobody said you could. Fellowship. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, "And they continued in fellowship with one another." You didn't make it by yourself before you got here. You won't make it by yourself when you leave here either. You're going to have the fellowship of God's people. And they will forget what my pastor told me. You want to do good? I said, yeah. He said, you better go where the good's being done. You better go where the good's being done. Because the boys at the pool room's doing the same thing they was doing when you left. They're doing it right now if it's open. They haven't quit just because the church is open. Nobody closed them up, did they? Doing the same thing they were doing. So he says, if you've got to have a change of fellowship, you've got to have a fellowship with a change in it. And that's where God's house is. On Sunday mornings when I used to be coming out of Jacksonville trying to get back into Fort Pierce in time to go to work the next morning, on Monday morning, the only thing that bothered me was when I would pass a place and I'd see people going to church. I'd see God's house, and I'd see those people going to church. And I didn't like that. That wasn't conducive with what I was doing. And it seemed like to me that in the state of mind I was in, the condition I was in, that was the only thing, the only righteous thing I could see was people doing what I was supposed to do. The church to me is just about the greatest restraining force that the Lord's got. He's letting the devil know he's still in business. And people worry about what church should I go to. You're serving a complete God. That's why the dumbest thing, and they're saying it right now, that you can possibly say is there's no second coming. That's why that's pretty stupid. Because you're saying now he's been complete in everything but this he can't do. He won't be complete till he comes again. But he's complete and he's coming again. Sure. So then if he saved you and couldn't keep you saved, he wouldn't be complete. If he saved you and couldn't send you to a place where you have fellowship with other believers, he wouldn't be complete either. No. I was saved, now when I think to 8 or 9 different churches, I'd be in a different one on Sunday morning than I would be on Sunday night. But I was seeking. I was looking. I said, when I get to the right one, you'll let me know it. What, where I can grow and glow instead of dry and die. Where I can minister and be ministered unto. Where I can give a blessing and be a blessing. I think it was either the 9th or the 10th church. And when the service was over, he said, this is it. This is where I want you. If I hadn't have been there that night that Brother Mickey is talking about, where would I got my calling from? I was in church the night he said, come out here. That's where I should be. I was in God's house. When I was lost, it was kind of hard for me to understand. Psalm 122:1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was supposed to be glad to do that, which I wasn't even doing. And that's a long ways apart. But I was where I belonged that night, and he put it in this man's heart. To say, that's the man I want to go with me. You and I and him, we're going to go out there and get this thing started. And then we're going to add. We're going to add, and he's been adding ever since. But I had to be at the right place at the right time to hear God's right message. So don't worry. Don't worry about, I don't know which one I'm supposed to go to. Don't look for a perfect one. Because there's human beings in a church. It's got humans there. Ain't no robots. Don't look for a perfect one. You're looking for a perfect one and you find a perfect one, don't go to it because it ain't going to be perfect after you get there. You're going to foul it up yourself. It's going to be messed up once you get there. There's human beings in it, so there's going to be problems. Jesus didn't have but 12, and the Bible says they argued amongst themselves about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. If 12 people couldn't get along, how do you think 1,200 is going to make it? Let him take care of that. But this is so important. Man left the program one time and he fell, and Mickey said, why'd you fall? Could you tell me? He said, I think I could do it. I failed to wrap it up. I didn't witness. I didn't read. I didn't attend. I didn't pray. W-R-A-P. God give that man that message. And I think Mickey's put it in his Bible studies because it's so important. I failed to wrap it up. I didn't witness. I didn't read. I didn't attend. I didn't pray. How are you going to learn to do these things unless you go to God's house? This is where it's taught. And what, you learn to share burdens with other people's and blessings. You've got strong parts wherein they're weak. And they got strong parts where you're weak. Now, of course, I can really identify with men in this program and any other program when you come out of the world. Because this is what I've done. I shared this with a man Friday night. When I went to Parkview Baptist Church and I found out this is where God wanted me, it must have been 2 months I was on the very back pew, way over in the corner by myself. Sure. I felt condemned. I said, they've been so good, and I've been so rotten. I felt condemned. I think it must have took me about 3 months to get up to the front row. But somebody put a little message in my pastor's ear, and he told me one night, he said, when I look back there again, and I see you back there, I'm going to call you up to the front. I said, never mind, I'll get up there. That's all right, I'll get up there. But what was he trying to say? And this is the thing, man, that the devil, oh, he can hurt you with this. You're not as good as they are. They haven't done what you have done. There is a difference. So I want you to sit in a different place. Oh, don't go for this. Ephesians 2:19, you're therefore no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens in the household of God. It's the same Lord. And oh, what a blessing I would get when those men that had been serving the Lord for so long would reach out and grab my old wino liquored up hand and squeeze it just like I'd been with them for 40 years. And I'd just come out from underneath the packing house. But they didn't hold that against me. God was so good to me. He said, you see, I've told them how to don't live in the past. Never mind what you've done. It's what I can do with you now, from now on. And they'll love you. They don't have anything against you. This is the power in the people of God and with God's people. They learn something about love. What's love? I believe that best one is about the sixth grade definition of the little Sunday school one I learned years ago. Still true. Love is the flag of joy that flies from the castle of heart. The castle of the heart to show there's peace there when the king's in residence. There's always peace, joy, long-suffering. All those things are there. Now, I don't think that you ever master any area of the Christian life. I don't believe that. I can't buy that one. I think every area of a Christian life is a challenge the rest of your life. I don't see how you could master any area at all. Because if you could, there'd be no point in you going to heaven. He'd just build heaven, hell, and earth and keep you here. You wouldn't have to go anyplace else. You'd have it all. But you don't ever master any of it. And so when you go to church, you learn what? You learn that the master himself is the only one that can help you in these areas where you're weak. And to say, a lot of people say this, I can be just as good a Christian outside of the church as I can inside the church. I can do it by myself. That's like saying I'm an expert swimmer, but I can't stand the water. That don't make sense either, does it? In other words, I know the God of the people, but I don't want to have anything to do with the people of God. You're having problems. He said, singleness of mind. A mind that is singular. What's that? Directed towards me. It's all right when the ship's in the water, but it's a different thing when the water's in the ship. And he doesn't want you to see that. The only way, I honestly believe, the only way to do it is God's way. And then we start saying, well, how do I know which one to go to? They'll ask me this one time. How will I know which one to go to? I said, that ain't up for me to tell you, because he might not send you the same one he sent me. Incidentally, I know an old boy and his wife. Now we're on the mission field. They didn't go to Parkview Baptist Church. They went out to Fairlawn Baptist Church. Brother Sonny Holland was out there then. That was the church where God wanted them. Parkview's where he wanted me. He used me and them. Leave it up to God. He said, now, Bob, you can get the food you need right here. Al, you can get yours over here. You see? Don't worry about which is right and which is wrong. John 12:32. Before you go into a church, look at John 12:32. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Close your Bible, go in and sit down. When that hour's over, walk out. That didn't happen. You went to the wrong place. You had to. This fellow incidentally told me, he said, I read that before I went into the church. I read it. And I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw them into me. I'll draw them all to me. He said, I walked outside. I said, what happened? He said, they didn't lift up nobody or nothing. Beating the air. Paul says you can beat the air. He said, they beat the air. He said, I don't believe they lifted up nothing or anybody. But a service that is a service will what? Glorify him and edify one another. Sure it will. Can't fail to do it. There may be different ways to do it. Of course. Some people are more emotional than others. Why get all upset about this? One fellow who had the privilege to be, what, here on earth during the ministry of both Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody. You know what he said about it? He said, well, to watch Billy Sunday was like watching a tennis match. He said he must have done 4 miles of road work. He said he tore both pockets out of his coat, ripped his tie off, turned the pulpit over, threw song books, and done everything. Oh, he said, I've never seen as much emotion. And he said, Moody never got 4 feet from the pulpit. He said, you could have drawn a circle, he never got out of it. Don't you believe God can use people differently? Everybody ain't set up the same way. This is why I believe that there's many different denominations, if you want to put it that way. Because he says, I know they're not all natured the same way. They're not emotionally stabilized. They're all different. But I've got something, which is common, which is universal, which is basic, which will reach them all. Just because it's done in a different way doesn't mean the way is so different. Why, no. He used 44 different people to write his book. They all didn't have the same job. Soldiers, kings, and sheep herders, and shepherds, and all kinds of things to show you this. You're individuals, of course. A group is nothing but what? A bunch of individuals that's got together. Everybody's still an individual. Just because they got in a group didn't change them. They still have their own personalities. Of course they do. You're not going to change that. And God apparently must have gave them that for a reason. Like these strong areas. That's to help me and you in our weak areas. And everybody's not strong in everything or weak in everything. Don't let denominational I don't think you really learn how to witness until you go to God's house and see it being done. The first thing you're supposed to do, how are you going to witness without finding out how it's done? And the first church, a church is not just a great big building. We understand that. Several times in the scriptures, I was reading last night where it said, the church that is in their house. Now, Pet and I can have church in our house. Nobody there, me and Pet, the Lord and the devil. There's always, but you can't, when it's you and somebody else, you've got to admit the other two. See, it's always four. There's always four. When I say me and Mama, the Lord, and the devil. Just two people. Me and my mother, two human beings. But there's those other two. And I felt the presence of those other two. Oh, I felt old Smutty Face real strong when he found out things are getting tough. When my mama started talking, he said, oh, he turned to the demon and said, this don't look good at all. We fixing to lose this guy. Do something. He pushed the panic button, but it was too late. But it was too late. Because the Spirit of God came in. My heart felt like it was busting open. Something went out and something went in. And God got his work done. All right. The Spirit of God then can appear in many, many, many different ways. And you don't have to be in a building. You can be in your house. It's just where the Spirit of God is there doing what God wants to do in, through, and by his people. A service has many different forms. Prayer, songs, preached word, testimonies. My mother's greatest blessing out of any service was the praying, because she was an intercessory prayer warrior. She just loved to hear people pray. At the end of every service, you know what she got the most out of? Praying. Some people get the most out of singing, out of the songs. Of course, there's a musical ministry. The same God who inspired the what? The writing of the word inspired the writing of the music. There's two different kinds of music, isn't there? Hey, Bob or Rebob don't sound like the little church in the Wildwood, not to me. A little bit of difference there. This rock and roll and rolling rock sure ain't what Jesus had in mind. I don't believe. I can't see no connection in this. Maybe it's there, but I haven't found it. Because it fails to do what I know everything's supposed to do. Lift him up. And if I be lifted up. Many, many different ways to do the same thing. One old boy that I used to know there in Fort Pierce, and this was kind of surprised. Went to church with him. The first time after he was converted, I said, where'd you get your greatest blessing out of? He said, the announcements. Just the announcements. I said, why? He said, I'm used to hearing an announcement like this. This is case number such and such. He said, I'm tired of that. And he said, they was standing up and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he was going to do with his people next week. And he said, that just blessed me. Why, sure. So don't let denominational ties have anything to do with that, because since there's different people, there'll be differences in these. What did we say Friday night? Don't ever forget this. If I'm disagreeing with you, I'm not wrong. That's the blessed privilege. You're not wrong. Disagree, but don't be disagreeable. Be different, but not indifferent. Contend, but don't be contentious. Be unlike, but not unkind. You see? An argument and discussion. An argument is when two people is wrong, neither one wants to admit it. Sure, they're both wrong. Neither one wants to admit it. That's an argument. A discussion is when you and I both respect the other person's opportunity and chance to be right. Absolutely. Scripturally, there's many things. Blind Bartimaeus to me is one of the best. And he laying his garment aside, laid his coat aside, and went to Jesus. Now, two beautiful interpretations. Either one's right. Either he's saying, when he gets through with me, I can see where my coat is and come back and get it. Or, I won't need it anyway. He'll give me something better. I won't need this crummy coat. Now, either one of them's right. Now, I'm not going to say that you're wrong because you may have the one I don't have. Because we're both right. And the devil can get in and foul you up like he's trying to mix this old boy up that I used to know there in town. He said, here in the Bible it says Moses had three tablets. Here he said he had two. Just how many did he have? I said, well, I don't know. I don't know how many he had. But I said, don't mess around and go to hell and not get a chance to ask him. I said, if the devil can send you to hell, you won't have no chance to ask the boy. I said, get up there. If you just got to know that when you get there, then you can ask him. But the devil's going to send you to hell. You ain't going to get a chance because Moses ain't going to be there. Now, the Mount of Transfiguration, he was with the Lord. So I know where Moses is. I said, you're going to go to the wrong place messing around like it. Lady told me one time, she said, look at what it says here in the Bible, in the book of Revelation. God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. She said, Brother Al, when I get happy, I cry. I said, well, he'll take care of your confusion after you get there. I said, he'll know what to do with you, because I'm sure I don't. I really don't. And we get too big when we don't realize how little we are. The way to get too big is fail to realize how small you are. Right. And with us people who had the elbow bending problem, when alcohol just ruined us, there's one thing we have to watch. We can't ever afford to forget what we were, or we'll forget who it is who's made us what we are. 18 years since I was what I was, but I ain't forgot it yet. I remember the pit from whence I was dug. And I'm not going to forget it, because that makes me glorify him that much more. So knowing the right one to go to and knowing the right people, that is still left up to him. To give you an idea how highly I regard denominational ties, I'm a Baptist. I married a Methodist who was converted in a Catholic hospital and who wants to be baptized by a Baptist minister and a blacksmith. So you can see how much I think about denominational ties, don't you? It doesn't bother me at all. Because in all of these things, I see Jesus Christ. I see Christ. And somewhere, when God leads you to his house, you'll see him amongst his people. He's got something for you. Now, and not only for you, but now watch. There's bonuses. This Bible's full of bonuses. It never stops. You'll know the truth, and then what? Set you free. Not just that you know it, but you're going to be free after you know it. And you're going to be all right here, but praise God, it's all this in heaven, too. There's always a bonus. Always a bonus. When I left Parkview, I said, Brother Rogers, I said, I'm so thankful for how you people put up with me. But I said, I almost had the shakes the morning I walked in here, or the night I walked in. I was just getting over the shakes, and I feel bad. And I said, you put up with me. You ministered to me. You helped me. For 3 years, you've been a blessing to me. He let me rave and rat on, and then, now, wait a minute, boys, what's the bonus? Yep. He said, that's all right. But I don't want you to forget this either. I said, what's it? He said, oh, you were a blessing to us. See there? Now, how'd that make me feel? Oh, he said, you were a tremendous blessing to us. Why, sure. Only God could do that. Turn a bum into a blessing. A drunk into a disciple. A wino into a witness. A failure into a follower. Liquor head into a lover. That's just Jesus. That's all it takes. That's just him. He turned it around. Now, and he told Adrian, he said, don't you let him leave here thinking that you and his church done it all now. Because I know him. He's got an inferiority complex. He's going to feel behind. So let's bring him up even, and you tell him this. Well, that's all I needed to hear. You were a blessing. The church needs you, and you need the church. Sure, that's it. You've got something they need. They got something you need. And until you get together, well, nobody's going to realize what it is. Can't witness for him unless you see how it's done, see other people doing it, be amongst them that's doing it. Read his word. Two ways to read it. Read it with your mind or read it with your heart. Just before conversion, my mind told me I need to know the Lord. But it just stopped up there. Nothing happened between them ears. I knew that 33 years. I need to know the Lord. I need to know the Lord. I need to know the Lord. Sure, I think the mind's in. Then all of a sudden something dropped down about a foot and made a left turn, and there was my heart, and he said, I want to know the Lord. That's the difference. I finally wanted what I knew I needed. Don't get confused in this mind and matter, or pretty soon you'll have a mind with something to matter with it. You have to be very careful with this. That's right. A mind of science will give you a scientific mind. That's right. As the old boy says, you'll believe what? Grapes and nuts. It ain't either grape or nuts. It's cereal. And you'll still get mixed up. So let the Lord Jesus Christ, I like what old Paul said. Paul says, I've wrote all these 13 books, and there they are. I've wrote them, but now just wait a minute. Consider what I say, but the Lord give you the understanding in all things. The way to understand anything is for me to take me out and you out and put him in. Don't do as I say. What was that they say? Don't do as I do as I say do. Never mind. That lets me and you both do what he said do. That takes both of us out and puts him in. All right? You learn that when you read his word. You learn that what? I didn't intend for you to understand it. I don't expect you to. You can't. You'll never be able to understand it. I doubt if I understand 0.1% of it. But I've accepted the challenge of life to believe it all. And what? Knowing that he knows should be good enough for me, and I'm sure he knows. And here's another bonus, speaking of heaven. You know, it's always going to be in controversy here, always going to be in discussion. There's always going to be problems, differences, differences. But one of these days, 89th Psalm says, thy word is forever settled in heaven. Somehow or other, it's all right up there. There will be no more of this. I'll be taken care of. That's that other bonus. And this is what happens. See, this is what seems to be the problem now. Now, the church is so good, so real, so powerful. It means so much to God until the devil is doing what? Counterfeiting. Did you know out in California they got the devil's church? Big ones out there. Satan's church. It's right over the door. This is the devil's church. You see, he saw the Lord had something good, so he tried to copy it. And marvel not that Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Of course he can do this. Now, this lets me know, any time I catch him duplicating or attempting to duplicate something, I know it's good. I know it's good. This ought to be the proof that you and I ought to have all through life. I know now the church is all right because he's trying his best to copy it. Sure. I know marriage is all right because he's got people trying to do pull these live-in jobs. See, doing it his way. What are you trying to tell you? Marriage is all right, but don't do it that way. Do it my way. Ownership. Owning something's all right. Don't work. Don't work and pay for it. Steal it. You still got it, ain't you? Do it my way. Just go steal it. Anything, see, anything that is good, he'll try to duplicate it. A counterfeiter never makes a $3 bill, but he'll make a $5. Because there ain't no $3. But there's a $5. Remember the story about the old boys who got the machine all fouled up and made a $9 bill? Sure. Then they made an $18. There's something wrong with this machine. What are we going to do? And the guy said, wait a minute. We're going down south. We'll get to Georgia. We'll get this straightened up. Went into a restaurant and passed that 18. Little waitress looked at her and said, you got change for this? She said, yeah, what do you want? 2 9s or 3 6s? But if it wasn't good, he wouldn't be trying to duplicate it. Watch, the things that aren't worth fooling with, he don't bother with. But the church is good, it's real, it's necessary for you and I to grow in Jesus Christ. You learn to witness there, like you ought to. We used to have classes on Wednesday night. Our pastor, lots of time at prayer meeting, just disbanded the whole thing, and he'd just take it step by step and show us how to witness in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. No man comes to the Father, but the Spirit draws it. There's times you're supposed to go and times you're not supposed to. Places you're supposed to go and places you're not. Places other people are supposed to go. I like what Dr. Hester said over here the other day. This is real true. I like this. This is right. He says, people ask me to come to them, and I find out what they want. I may not have it. Somebody else might have it. This is good. You ain't got all the gifts. You haven't got them all. Each man has his proper gift from God, one after this manner and one after that. I'm glad of one little clear, simple gift. I've seen college professors, Christians, I think they knew the Lord, and they their minds were so powerful that they was they were just getting hung up on things. Well, a lot of us little 6th and 8th graders just accept as God's will and God's word, and we don't know what it says, but that's right. He said it, so it's all right. So the gift of believing rather than trying to understand, that's good. You'll be able to help some people like that. But if you can't, there's somebody else that can do it. You can't win everybody, but you can win somebody. The greatest help he ever gave me in my inferiority complex was I never made one person who could do it all, and I never made one person who couldn't do anything. Now, I thought I was that one for years. I thought I was the one he made that couldn't do nothing. I had premeditated failure. I'd say, I can't do this, now watch me. I call myself the human doormat. Welcome, step on me, I'm still down here. I'm just so far behind the rest of the human race. And other people were conscious of it, too. The psychiatrist who tried to talk with me in the service said, wait a minute, you wasn't born, you just happened, didn't you? Just tell us, you just all of a sudden happened, didn't you? So everything was all leading to the fact that what I needed, the fellowship of God and his people. This further develops you. You'll make your world so small one of these days, there'll barely be room in it for you. I've said this before, and I'll say it again because it's still true. I saw in the 15 years I've been associated here, I saw two men. Those two men, and if you saw them, you'd come to the same conclusion I did. They could walk into an empty room, it'd still be empty. They haven't added a thing to that room. The devil can rob you of your personality. Them guys could walk into an empty room, and you'd get the feeling there was nothing in there. He can completely rob you. Well, that's from pulling yourself aside too much. John on the Isle of Patmos, he was still in church. I was alone, he says, on the Lord's day, but I heard the Spirit of the Lord behind me. He still was in church. He wasn't by himself. God is there. So he was still in church. You learn then, you learn how to witness.
You learn how to read the word with your heart, not your mind. And you know then you can't do any of these things apart from yourself. And the most important thing of all, prayer. You learn to pray. You learn to pray like you ought to. Here again, it's not the position of your body, it's the condition of your heart. See? It's not the church that you go to, it's the church that goes to you. That's right, sure. A fellow told me one time, I've been through this book 7 times. I said, how many times has this book been through you? I don't care how many times you've been through, how many times has it been through you? If God didn't say what he meant, why didn't he mean what he said then? You start what? You start learning something when you see somebody else learning something. And you start accepting the challenge of life when you see them accepting life's challenge. Because you're a human being, you're going to join yourself to something. It's dangerous, though, sometimes you join yourself to the devil. He says that he can transform himself into an angel of light, and finally what? Finally get you to be what he wants you to be. Not what God wants you to be, and not what you know you ought to be. So then the church's importance, their greatest importance is what? When a person is converted, whether they're converted here or in a crusade or any place, that's the next step. Why do I know it's the next step? The man that Jesus healed in the 5th chapter of John, the man that he healed, Jesus went looking for him, and he found him in the temple. That's where he found him. Best place he could have been. And he told him, you better stay around here lest a worser thing befall thee. It's the best, it's the very best place you could. You're identifying yourself with God's people. You're letting the world know that you want to be identified with him and his people. Now, the church presents a challenge, especially to us married people. The church presents a challenge. I'm working on this, and I'm not so sure. I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for myself. Now, watch what he said about the church. What? In connection with you and your wife and me and my wife. In complete conjunction with each other. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Don't tell me that ain't a challenge. I check that one out every time I read it. Every time I read that, I look up at old Pet and I say, now, wait a minute. Do I love her like you love the church? You said I was supposed to. And gave yourself for that church? I said, now, suppose come the time me or her one had to go. And would I say me? He asked me that question one time. I said, give me a little time. I said, that's pretty rough. Let me think. So, see, I got a challenge of life there. Like Mickey one time, he called up a guy on the phone. He said, do you love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul? And the boy said, why, sure. Love to go to church. Oh, yeah. He said, do you love your neighbors yourself? That old boy said, let's go back to the first one. I like that one better. Yep, let's start all over, he said. Incidentally, there's a challenge. How many people love your neighbors yourself? How many loves your wife like he loved the church and would do the same thing for her he did for the church? Your wife is your bride. He talks about the church as being his bride. When he comes, he'll redeem unto himself the church. Unspotted and what? No blemish. A glorious gift presented to the bride. It's supposed to be the same type of love. And we have trouble. Of course we do. We have trouble. But we can learn. We can learn. I don't say that that perfection, I don't say that perfection can be attained here. But oh, how close you can come. You know what I believe? You know what I believe about the great saints, both in the Bible and in the world today? I honestly believe that the ones he was able to do the most with, that his spirit could come into and do the most with. Now, I don't think there's no perfection. No. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth right and sinneth not. That's still in the Bible. That's still there. Ecclesiastes 7:20, if you want to check it out. Not a just man upon the earth that doeth right and sinneth not. But these people that he's using so much, I honestly believe this, one of these days I'm going to ask one of them. Their disobedience, and it's got to be there because they're humans, is so small, so minor and minute, that it has very little or nothing to do with what he's doing in their lives. Their disobedience is a way, way down the line somewhere. Because apparently it does not interfere with what he wants to do. And what can he use? Clean hands and pure hearts. That's what he has to do. He can't, what, fill that which is already filled or use that which is already being used by somebody else. No. And this is why I believe that what? You stop all these other things when you stop the first thing. When you stop going to church, you'll stop witnessing. You'll stop it. You stop going to church, you won't witness no more. You won't read this word anymore. You won't pray anymore. The one thing that is still, I don't believe, ever changed, because I've heard Brother Mickey ask many and many a man, did you pray the day you fell? Did you really, really talk to God? Me, you, or nobody else? I'm always only going to have one answer to that. No, I didn't. No, I didn't. It's going to be pretty hard to read Luke 6:46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And then go that live that full day in sin. No, you can't think right and do wrong. Think wrong and do right. It's impossible. But here's what he said the importance of my church is. I don't want you to stop doing that, because I know what's going to happen. Then you're going to stop all the rest. And you'll be of no value to me, or my kingdom, or my people, what it is I'm supposed to do. Every page in the Bible exalts the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Now, there's no ministry, no burden apart from the church. Didn't you know burdens and churches and denominations all and ministries sometimes are so different they appear controversial? That's right, they're so different until they will appear controversial. But they all stem from the same thing. This is not apart from the church. Duncan Moore Camp will never be different. You mean separated from it? No. It's an arm of the church. It's an outreach for the unreached. But it's still a part of the church. A rescue mission, missionaries on the mission field, who do you think sent them? Some church. If you ever get the feeling that any ministry is apart from the church, that's just what it is. And God ain't going to bless it no more either. No, sir, these things are all tied into him. He said, I built my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you thinking that it's different ain't going to do it either. Everything is a part. All the burdens are the same. I shared my burden. I think I shared this with you, but it's true. I shared my burden with the missionary. He got one, and I got one. I can't shake mine. He can't shake his. Every time I see an alcoholic, what do I say? Anybody ever been delivered from alcohol? I mean completely delivered by the Spirit of God. There but for what? You goes me. I'd be just where that man is if it wasn't for you. The only thing between me and that man is you. If he had you in me and would allow you to do with him what you've done with me, he'd have the victory. I know that, and you do too if you've ever been completely delivered. You know what that missionary told me? Now, is this burden wrong? Nope. Now, wait a minute. His burden came the same place mine did. No man has the right to hear it twice till every man's heard it once. Very true, isn't it? He's just as honest as I am. He's got just as good a burden to come from the same place. No man has the right to hear it twice till every man's heard it once. He's got a burden too. Ministries, burdens, and churches all come from the same place. Don't try to separate them or you get in trouble. You find yourself in trouble. Realize that here again is the difference. That the Lord wanted to do what? Different things that are different, with different people to accomplish the same purpose. Now, I think the way to fully evaluate and fully to appreciate the church and what it means, what it can show us how to wrap it up, witness for the Lord, and read his word, attend his church, and to pray to him, is to see the church like he sees it. Like we just said, the challenge, ain't nobody haven't reached it yet. Do I love it like he does? If he loved it enough to die for it, why shouldn't I love it enough to go to it? Now, that wouldn't make sense. He died for it, but I won't even go. You know how to find out what's wrong with the church? Ask the man that don't go. He knows every time. Every time I'm in a revival meeting, I don't ask the pastor what's wrong with his church. I never do. But about the first or second or third visit, we go and we visit somebody that don't go, and I say, hey, fella, what's wrong with this man's church? Of course, now, the pastor don't like that. He has a heebie-jeebies. But I say, now, you tell me what's wrong with this church. He'll tell you. Sure, he'd be glad to tell you. The lost man always knows, because he don't go, see. But he's not trying to do anything about it, you see. Not in any way trying. He's just condemnation, see. Judgment without mercy. Voices without virtue. He just don't know what's going on. So if we could ever see it the way he sees it, I think we'd what? We would get the full value of it. We'd appreciate it more. We'd learn to let it do for us what it's supposed to do. And never separate it, never separate its ministries, never separate its burdens and its blessings and its different forms, because they all mean the same thing. What did we say Friday night? Still true. At that day, I got other sheep which are not of this fold. They'll hear my voice, and one day I'm going to make it all one fold, and one shepherd's going to all be the same thing. I expect to see lots of different people from lots of different churches when I get to glory. I seen my Baptist mama and a Methodist grandma almost win somebody to Jesus. They come back. But they didn't mention immersion.
In sprinkling? No, they told her baptism was in the Savior, not in the sink. In the Lord, not in the lake. In the Redeemer, not in the river. In Christ, not in the creek. In the Master, not in the mud hole.
And that's all she wanted to know. They didn't get to those other things about the differences here. Sure, he expected to be differences, but all one purpose, all to glorify him.
Now, here's the way he saw it. Here's the way he saw it, and I'd like to see it this way myself one of these days. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads and see if we can't get what he inspired the songwriter to say when he said, "This is what I think of the church." The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his own creation from Spirit and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Amen.